On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. You're locked in with your host, Brent McGuire. In today's episode, we're going to finish looking at the top 10 free agent and trade targets for the Angels this offseason. Before getting into this episode, as a reminder, if you want to find me on Twitter, you can follow me at bmags94. You can follow the Locked On Angels podcast on Twitter at Locked On Angels. You can find my written work at Crashing the Pearly Gates. And if you haven't done so already, make sure to download, subscribe, rate, and review the Locked On Angels podcast on any of your favorite podcasting platforms. Happy Tuesday. Like I mentioned at the top, we are going to finish off looking at the trade targets and free agent acquisitions for the Angels. We did the first five on Monday. Today we will do the top five most requested trade targets and free agent targets from Angels fans when I pulled them over the weekend. There were a couple things I wanted to touch on before getting into this episode. First up, I had an article come out at Crashing the Pearly Gates on Monday looking at Shohei Ohtani's first career pitching start at Angel Stadium back in 2018. Like I mentioned on Monday's episode, just one of those random things. I felt like going back and watching that game, writing up what happened, bringing in some video highlights, all that kind of stuff. So I will post that in the podcast description. And there was an Angels rumor on Monday. John Heyman of Major League Baseball reported that James McCann, the veteran catcher who played with the White Sox last season, has received interest from the Yankees, Mets, Cardinals, and Angels, in addition to the White Sox. So this is an interesting addition. I would argue that McCann is the second best catcher in this class. I mean, there's a pretty big gap between JT Realmuto and James McCann, but McCann's been pretty darn good. Since 2019, only four catchers have been more valuable by wins above replacement from Fangraphs. He's hit 276, 334, 474 with 25 home runs in essentially a full season's of work in that time. He's been really good. It's an interesting fit just from the perspective of if Max Stassi does come back and he's healthy, you're going to have two pretty high quality catchers at the position. And I guess that's not a bad thing to have, but I did see some pushback from Angels fans today. They are probably rightfully so more concerned about going out and getting pitching. And if you assume that James McCann will get something in the range of, I don't know, 8 to 12 million per year on a multi-year contract, that's pretty significant because that depletes the resources to go out and get a pitcher. So I'm not sure this is going to be a fit that makes sense, but if the Angels have enough room for him, if they're able to go out and get pitching and add McCann, that's a pretty big deal. McCann, kind of like Stassi, has made some pretty real changes over the last couple years. I was looking at his Baseball Savant page. He's hitting the ball harder, a few more balls in the air, kind of doing the things that you would expect from a guy who has broken out a little bit. There's definitely some concern about his approach at the plate. Lots of swings, not a ton of walks, a lot of strikeouts. And if you look at the overall track record, he hasn't been a great offensive catcher for his career, but hard to overlook what he's done the last couple years. And obviously, a James McCann, Max Stassi duo behind the plate would do some serious damage. But now we're ready to look at the remaining five free agent slash trade targets that Angels fans want to see the club acquire. So Monday's episode, we looked at a handful of players. We looked at Yu Darvish, Kyle Hendricks, Ha-Seong Kim, Joe Musgrove, and Francisco Lindor. Coming up first on today's list, Colton Wong.
With some curly Neil Harlem Globetrotter stuff out there behind the second base bag.
So the longtime St. Louis Cardinals second baseman received 7 votes on this poll that I did for Angels fans over the weekend, and this is one of the more obvious fits out there. It was definitely a surprise when the Cardinals decided to decline his $12 million club option for the 2021 season. I think the value is really fair. I have read some thoughts about that that says basically he's a below average offensive player at the second base position. It's kind of easy to go out and find those guys like that, but I do think that undersells how good he is. He is the best defensive player at the position right now, and he's been so consistent. I mean, every single year, it's 2 to 3 wins above replacement, very good defense. His offense isn't great by any means. It's below average if you look at weighted runs created plus, but he's right below average, and at that position, that's good enough. He's durable, makes a lot of contact, is, you know, decent in the on-base percentage department, doesn't really hit for much power, but with the defense, with the batting average on-base percentage, this is a pretty good player, and I think he just makes way too much sense for the Angels if the club thinks that David Fletcher is an everyday option at the shortstop position. I know this is kind of an idea that we've touched on this podcast. Is David Fletcher a shortstop? Is he more of a second baseman? It's really hard to tell, but if you're able to get Colton Wong on a 1 or 2 year deal, that doesn't necessarily mean that David Fletcher is locked down at shortstop for the long term. You could go into next year and say, you know what? We've got a lot of money to spend. We can go out and get one of these big shortstops, whether that's Francisco Lindor, Corey Seager, Trevor Story, etc., etc. And maybe David Fletcher or Colton Wong kind of move into a super utility role. So there are a lot of options here. And I think what I like the most about Wong is the fact that he's really not going to cost that much. MLB Trade Rumors has him at 2 years, $16 million at $8 million a year for a consistent 2+ win player every single season. That's pretty good value. And pairing him with David Fletcher up the middle, that would be a lot of fun. We're going to move on to the next player on this list, and that is Brad Hand.
Now the 0-2. Struck him out to end the game. Brad Hand shuts it down here in the ninth after the Blue Jays spoiled the no.
So we've got back-to-back players on this list who had club options at really reasonable prices for the 2021 season. Both of them were declined. And it's tough to say if that's more so about the team, the current environment, or an indictment on the player themselves, but I'm kind of leaning towards the team and the environment because Brad Hand has been really, really good. I mean, he was playing for a team that has been tearing it down for the last couple years. The Indians have really been operating on this budget and this principle that they need to swap out any short-term value that they have for long-term value. And it's something that I've critiqued before on here, on Twitter, all that kind of stuff. I just have not agreed with the direction that that team has gone, but that might help a team like the Angels. And Angels fans were pretty darn clear. Brad Hand had 8 or 9 different responses from Angels fans as an option, and this guy is really good. And his transformation from mediocre, bad starter to dominant reliever basically sums up the entire nature of relief pitching as a whole. And he's been dominant, like flat out dominant for a half decade now. And he's maintained the really, really good strikeout rates, run prevention numbers, despite the fact that he's lost a little velocity on the fastball. I mean, you look at his track record, you can basically count for 50 plus innings in a full season, strong ERAs. He handles both lefties, righties, gets a lot of strikeouts. He's a high leverage reliever. This is an obvious fit for the Angels. And if you acquire him, he's immediately the best pitcher in that bullpen. He's pitching in the ninth inning, high leverage situations, whatever it is. I think he's a phenomenal fit for the Angels. I really do. I think he makes too much sense. Again, this environment might help a team like the Angels, who have kind of said that they're going to spend when a lot of other teams aren't going to spend specifically on relievers. That might help the Angels. But again, this is all going to come down to how much money they have. They do need pitching, absolutely. I would prefer that the team emphasizes the starting rotation, but if you can fit Brad Hand into the budget, if you can get him on a multi-year deal, maybe it's like a 2-year, $20 million deal, something in that range, or maybe even a 1-year deal with a club or player option for the following season, makes a lot of sense. Again, we're doing all these activities without any idea of where the team's going to go. Once they make their first acquisition, like their first significant acquisition, some of these will make more sense. But because of where the Angels are at and the fact that they need to go out and acquire a handful of starters, fix their bullpen, fix up the middle, maybe a left fielder slash right fielder, maybe they need to go get a catcher, you know, all of these different things. It's going to be hard to truly evaluate this, but Brad Hand's really good. One of the best relievers in baseball, has experience pitching in high leverage situations for a very good Cleveland Indians team, and obviously makes a lot of sense. The MLB offseason might be here, but that doesn't mean your baseball content has to go away. I'm strongly advising you to go check out the Locked On MLB podcast, get yourself up-to-date information, and stay informed during the entire offseason. So we just touched on Brad Hand. That's going to start a trend of pitchers on the remainder of this list. And next up is another high-leverage elite reliever that Angels fans have become far too accustomed with, and that is Liam Hendricks.
Reddick strikes out, and Hendricks out of a major jam. Breaks the bat as Reddick strikes out, and the Astros leave two in scoring position. That'll send us to the ninth.
So Hendricks' name popped up 9 different times when I polled Angels fans, and I think that's pretty telling. Angels fans got a firsthand glimpse at how good this guy was pitching for Oakland the last couple seasons, and it's pretty clear that he's baseball's best reliever at this moment. Since 2019, he leads baseball in both wins above replacement and earned run average. He was kind of an okay reliever for a handful of years. He had a couple good years mixed in. He had one solid year with Toronto, another decent year with the A's, but he was DFA'd in 2018 and made it back to Oakland through waivers and just came back dominant. And like many reliever stories, he just had that up and down trajectory before he turned himself into one of baseball's best relievers. But I think what's different about other relievers is his story to this point was pretty simple. Throw harder, throw more strikes. So he's always thrown a lot of strikes in his career, but that's gone to another level the last few years. So he's basically improved upon his strong command rates from the past, but the most notable change is the fact that he's just throwing harder now. He was kind of a 93 to 96 mile per hour guy with his fastball, which is, that's fine, but that's kind of average in today's environment. Well, at age 30, he just randomly added 2 miles per hour on his fastball, and that's maintained over the last couple seasons. And I mean, it's just really showed. You look at what he's done since 2019, 161 strikeouts, 24 walks, and 110/3 innings. It is just absurd. And you got to fully acknowledge the nature of relievers. We're still only talking about a little over 100 innings. And like any other reliever, yes, there's going to be risk in paying significant money for Hendricks. MLB Trade Rumors has him at 3 years, $30 million in free agency. That's about right, I would think. It actually might be a little light, I think, on their part. But if he does cost that much, obviously that's really enticing for the Angels. And I know there's a lot of risk investing any kind of money in a reliever, especially over a 3-year deal. Yeah, that's risky. I'm not sure Hendricks would be my top priority just because of that reason. But if the club ends up going and trading for cost-controlled starters, if that's their way of going out and improving their starting rotation, and they have some room to spend on a reliever, yeah, obviously you go out and get Hendricks. And I feel pretty confident that he's going to be pretty damn good next season. After that, all bets are off. You never know what's going to happen beyond that point, but he's baseball's best reliever right now, and the Angels need that kind of reliever. So it's now time to move on to the last two players on this list, and quite frankly, it wasn't very close for this top two. Honestly, I could have just asked a poll saying, which of these two starting pitchers do you prefer? And I would have gotten basically exactly what I was looking for. But yeah, so we're moving on to two starting pitchers. One of them is available in free agency. One of them is available in trade. First guy we'll touch on is Trevor Bauer.
Got him swinging. Trevor Bauer strands a leadoff double to keep it scoreless in Atlanta.
So Trevor Bauer got 24 votes from Angels fans. So that's a significant jump from the 9 votes that Liam Hendricks got. And yeah, I mean, it's obvious. Trevor Bauer's been the one guy who's been really linked to the Angels right from the beginning of the offseason, maybe even before that. So, you know, he's coming off of a Cy Young Award winning season, absolutely dominant, his best inning per inning performance. There's a lot to like here. He's a data-driven guy, constantly tinkers with his stuff. He's a frontline starter. He's durable. He's going to make a lot of money. And the appeal is obvious. SoCal native, pitched at UCLA. He's maintained his fastball velocity. He's reworked that arsenal. He's really just tinkered a lot, whether it's changing shapes on his breaking balls, adding new pitches like the slider, and is obviously a huge proponent of Driveline, which is the ever-growing baseball development program. He's an innings eater, constantly has different weapons to throw at hitters, sequences his pitches well, knows how to utilize it. I mean, you just look at the entire thing. He's a good bet to age well, even with his smaller nature, just because he works so hard at what he's doing. He's constantly adjusting his craft. He's shown that he can pitch a lot of innings, and he's arguably a top 10 pitcher in the game right now, and that makes him an obvious fit for the Angels. With that all said, there are certainly some warning flags with him. First off, he's the clear-cut best starter and the only ace or frontline starter available in free agency. I think there's a pretty good bet that he's going to make more than $30 million per year over the next half decade, and that by itself might eliminate him from the running for the Angels. And, you know, secondly, he has had his issues both on and off the field. I mean, there are a handful of incidents, whether it's his past issues with organizations like the D-backs or Cleveland, his disturbing behavior towards fans in the past on social media, the drone incident that forced him out of a playoff start, or his likely use of pine tar last season. I mean, you can just go look at his spin rate numbers that jumped significantly. And there are a lot of things to be concerned about. And I think overall, he's kind of just an enigma in terms of performance standpoint too. Only two of his seasons have produced an above average ERA. And yes, he was pitching quite a few innings in those other seasons, and his ERA was not that far below league average. But we're talking about a guy that is about to make a lot of money and doesn't necessarily have the strongest track record. I think it just helps that he's coming off such a strong season, and the fact that he's really the only high quality arm that's available in free agency, I think that's going to drive his price up. But all that being said, he's one of the better starters in baseball. He's shown the durability that he's at least going to guarantee you a lot of innings, and most of those innings will be strong. And I will say, as much as I've disagreed with some of his behavior on social media in the past, he had some really nasty incidents 3 or 4 years ago. It does seem like he's moved past that a little bit, and he's actually kind of started to market himself in a really positive way, whether it's his YouTube channel, his tweets, anything like that. And I do think that's valuable for a sport that has really struggled to market itself, market its best players. But if I'm the Angels, I'm steering clear of this just because the contract alone is going to eat up all of the spending for the Angels this offseason. I just do not see a scenario where you try to go for that big fish, bring him in, and then just assume that the rest of the roster is going to be okay. Bauer himself is not going to fix the issues for this team. And yes, he would help quite a bit, but I think it's kind of continuing the recent trends that the Angels have shown of spending a lot of money on stars and free agency and then wondering why it didn't work when the next season you have 5 to 10 players who are dragging down your entire roster. So high quality pitcher, just not sure this is going to make a lot of sense for the Angels. And the last guy on our list, this was pretty obvious. I was not surprised when he ended up being number one on this list, and that is Tampa Bay Rays left-hander Blake Snell.
He's thrown every pitch in this inning that he has. He struck out the side. You can't do it any better. Good start, Snell, and Rays up one after one in game six.
Blake Snell came in with 29 votes from Angels fans. Pretty significant gap between him and Trevor Bauer. And yeah, this is super obvious. Had I done my own personal top 10, he would have been 1, 2, or 3 for me. Absolutely. And I definitely think there's some recency bias involved just because we got that trade rumor within the last 10 days that he became available, apparently, by the Tampa Bay Rays. But, I mean, if this rumor had come out the day after Snell had pitched a gem in Game 6 of the World Series, I'm sure the interest would still be there right now. And the allure of Snell is, it's obvious on so many different fronts. I mean, first and foremost, he's just really freaking good, and the Angels need a really freaking good starting pitcher. He won the 2018 AL Cy Young Award. He's been one of baseball's best pitchers since then by ERA, wins above replacement, many of the underlying stats since that season. And, I mean, we just saw this in the postseason. In his World Series, he was dominant against that juggernaut of a Dodgers lineup. He's got a 95-plus mile-per-hour fastball, killer curveball, really good slider, above-average changeup. I mean, by all accounts, he's just a beast, and he's an arguable ace in this environment. And I think possibly as enticing as the production is his age and his production. I think that's what makes him such a fit for the Angels. He's only owed $39 million from 2021 to 2023. So you're talking middle of his prime, not owed that much. You have him before he enters those uncertain age 30 seasons. And if you think about what he might get in free agency right now, I mean, Charlie Morton just got $15 million. Drew Smyly just got $11 million. On the open market, Blake Snell is getting a lot more than $13 million. So this is an absolute steal at this price. There is one red flag for me. It's the lack of innings. He has been on the injured list over the last couple years, a couple times. He's like any other pitcher. There is injury risk. There's just more risk with a guy who is throwing a baseball 100 plus times every 5 or 6 days. That's just the nature of pitchers. But Blake Snell is one of the top 10, 15 starters in baseball. He's on a cheap contract, and you're going to have him right in the middle of his prime. So the last thing we obviously have to touch on is price tag. So we did touch on this last week. There was a report from Ryan Divish of the Seattle Times said that the Mariners were involved, or if they were involved in a trade, the Rays would be asking for Kyle Lewis, who just won the AL Rookie of the Year, or Julio Rodriguez or Jared Kelenic, who are top 10 prospects in the game right now. So if you're looking what the Angels would have to spend, you might be talking about Joe Adell. At the very least, you're talking about Brandon Marsh and probably some other pieces. This is one of those trades. If you go out and trade for Blake Snell, it's going to hurt. It's as simple as that. The guy is really good. He's on that cheap contract. He just pitched at a super high level at the best of his abilities. He's going to cost a lot. And trading with a team like the Rays is always risky because we've seen what they've been able to do. They go out, trade a guy who is, you know, getting a little older, a little more expensive. They trade him out before maybe his level falls off a little bit. And a couple years later, we're wondering why teams are still trading with the Rays. But Blake Snell is one of the best pitchers that the Rays have had over the last 5 to 10 years. He's really, really good. And yeah, I mean, if you're the Angels, you've got to show interest. You've got to go out and try to make a move for him, at least see what the price is. And yeah, again, this is a trade. If they went out and got him, it would definitely hurt. There would be a lot of questions about the prospects that they gave up, but he immediately becomes your ace and gives you a much bigger chance to win in 2021. That's going to do it for today's episode of Locked On Angels. I want to give a special thanks to all of the Angels fans who pitched in on doing this activity. I had a lot of fun just kind of looking through the replies and taking notes, seeing what people had to say about these players. And quite frankly, I thought it'd be more fun than just me giving you my opinion on the top 10 targets for the Angels. So this was definitely more worthwhile. Had a good time doing this. And special thanks to Major League Baseball for providing the audio for some of the highlights that I brought in. But in terms of what's coming next on Wednesday's episode, we're going to do an overall look at the farm system. So this is kind of going to be like half of the episode's going to be looking back at where the Angels were at for the last half decade. And then the remainder is going to be where they're at right now, touching on some of their major prospects, what's next in this kind of environment, and the possible trades that might be coming this offseason. But you can expect that on Wednesday. And I think that's it for today's episode. So as always, thank you for joining. Stay safe out there, and we'll talk on Wednesday for some Angels baseball and minor league baseball.